Love you. Okay, our passage for this morning is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 40. Luke 2, 1 through 40. For those that can stand during the reading, please do so. Luke 2. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste, and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to his mother, to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess of Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak to him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Wednesday is the day that has been set aside by modern society as the day to remember the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. It is easy for this world to allow Christians this set time of year that honors the traditions and the legacy from which such religion has stemmed. There are very few learned people who will dispute that there was a Jesus of Nazareth who lived during the Roman occupation of Israel and who was crucified on a cross. There are just way too many historical corroborations of this information for any learned individual to deny his existence. What is highly disputed, however, are the details and the events and the miracles that show that he was the Son of God. They will argue against the truth that he is God incarnate, who was born of a virgin, lived a perfect and sinless life, was crucified, and then rose from the dead to reign forevermore as Christ and Lord. That is what this age will try to refute and vehemently refuse to accept. This is because this glorious reality signifies that everyone will have to face Jesus at the end of their days on this earth. All will receive the righteous judgment for the manner in which they personally and individually acknowledge his sacrificial love for them. For those who accept and enjoy the reality of Jesus as Christ and Lord, there will be an eternity of joy and gladness. We will be in everlasting celebration of the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the loving kindness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For those who deny the truth of who Jesus is, eternity will be filled with the holy and just verdict in the torment of knowing that they purposefully denied God and chose rather to suffer the shame and the torment of everlasting damnation. They will still recognize that God sent his only begotten Son. They will still give him the honor and the glory of his sovereign rule over their doom. Their voices will still declare that he is Lord. But they will not enjoy the beauty of his loving kindness. They will know only the righteous and the just execution of his punishment upon them for their utter refusal to accept the freely given salvation that was put before them in their time on this earth. With the fact of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth ushering in the freely offered gift of God's salvation, let us spend a few moments looking at the glory of God that is invested in the Son of God incarnate. The chorus of the angelic hosts to the shepherds gives forth the truth that the angels knew that something marvelous was in the works. This was in respect to the birth of the Son of God as a baby over 2,000 years ago. They may not have fully understood what God was doing, However, they did herald the birth of the Son of God, declaring that all glory was to be given to God in the highest. The truth is that even before Jesus was born, the Old Testament is filled with the looking forward to the promised one. The salvation of old was just as tied to the Lord Jesus Christ as is our salvation today. While we look back to the events that unfolded after the birth of Jesus, the Jews of the Old Testament looked forward to the Messiah who was promised by God for the salvation of his people. Please open in your Bibles to Psalm 69, verses 30 through 36. Here the psalmist makes known how the Lord will receive all the praise of the earth for what he will do by his saving work. Psalm 69, 30 through 36. I will praise the name of God with song and shall magnify him with thanksgiving, and it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hooves. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are the prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. And the descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. Note how the psalmist knows that even heaven and earth will praise the Lord for his saving work. Then turn to Psalm 85, 8 through 12. We again read how the psalmist understands that the saving work of God will bring glory to the name of the Lord as well as peace to those whom he saves. Psalm 85, 8 through 12. I will hear what the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. The saving work of God is fully tied to his glory and to the bounty of his magnificent essence. All of creation abounds with praise to God for the fact that he is so awesome in the power that will bring salvation to humanity through his glorious working grace. Again, read the encouragement of the psalmist in Psalm 96, 9 through 13. This is with regard to the fact that God is Lord and that he is coming to judge the affairs of humanity. This is pointing to the promised one who will bring deliverance to his people and righteous and just judgment to all the sons of man. Psalm 96, 9 through 13. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it, Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. The celebration of the whole of God's creation for the fact of his saving work through the promised Messiah, the suffering servant of the Lord, elicits the abounding praise as is recorded by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 44, 23 through 28. Isaiah 44, 23 through 28. Please read along with me and pay close attention to the fact that it is the redemption by God of his people which will elicit such whole-scale praise and adoration. Isaiah 44, 23 through 28. Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb, I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself, and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back, and turning their knowledge into foolishness, confirming the word of his servant, and performing the purpose of his messengers. It is I who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be built, and I will raise up her ruins again. It is I who says to the depth of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid. All the work detailed is by the hand of the Lord in operation through his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. He is the foundation of the temple of God, the church of the firstborn, who will be fit together as living stones upon the sure and the true and the perfect foundation of his death and his resurrection. Then the prophet further offers the word of the Lord regarding the surety of his saving work in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 through 13. Isaiah 49, 8 through 13. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to those who are bound, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these will come from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains, For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. Notice how everything is centered in the action and the supremacy and the authority of God with respect to the salvation that will bring his chosen people unto himself. As that becomes evident, so will the entirety of creation be filled with those shouts of joy and the acclamation of the goodness and the splendor and the glory of God in the highest. This then brings us to the actual shouting of joy that's recounted in Luke 19, 37 and 38. This accompanied the entry of Jesus the Messiah into earthly Jerusalem. Because the people were thinking that he was the earthly king who would free them from their Roman domination, they honored him with the glory that declared who he was and what he would soon accomplish. But this glorious work would be done in a way that would utterly astound and would devastate their ideas and their plans. But it would firmly establish his supreme lordship for all of eternity. Luke 19, 37 and 38. And he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Jesus accounted all the glory of his walk on this earth unto God the Father as he prayed concerning that which was before him. This is recorded in John 17, 1 through 5. John 17, 1 through 5. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Please now turn to the letter to the church at Ephesus, as the Apostle Paul then picks up our theme of the glory that God will receive. This will be for the manifest salvation that he has put into place through his gift of his only begotten Son. We will start with verse 5, Ephesians 1, 5 through 12. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. God's glory will be seen in the people whom He has saved. His church will be the living source of giving God all the glory and the praise and the adoration for the great work that He has done, as further accounted in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Because He has saved us through His death and His resurrection, He will receive all glory as the entirety of His creation becomes witness to what He has done in building His church on this earth. That then brings us to the fact that everyone will have to acknowledge His working might and His power and His dominion. This is detailed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All humanity, all angelic hosts, all created beings will be amazed and astounded and awestruck by the revealed work of Christ in His church. Accordingly, all will have to bow down before Him and declare that He is Lord, and that He is sovereign and deserving of all praise and glory and honor. This was chorused at the announcement of His birth as a baby boy over 2,000 years ago, and it will bring glory to God in the highest, as so proclaimed by those angelic heralds. And our final passage is Revelation 5, 11 through 13. Here, at the end of time as we know it, all will be gathered before the throne of God, and in humble adoration and recognition of the great work that He accomplished. All will join the chorus of the ages with the presentation unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the glory that God alone is due. Revelation 5, 11 through 13. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. That which was heralded at his birth will be accomplished in the fullness of time. It will be to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all of eternity. So be it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Amen.